All right, if you have a Bible, take them and open them up to Romans chapter 6. If you need a Bible, we have some black Bibles on either side of the room there, and we have some kids' Bibles on either side of the room there. If you have one of those Bibles, in the black Bibles, it's on page 1001. That's Romans 6. And in the kids' Bible, it's on page 1500, okay? You can turn there, and I want to invite you to be looking in that with us as I go through this. You're free to keep either Bible if you don't have one on your own. We are pausing our series through Ecclesiastes for a very good reason today. We have the privilege of baptizing five individuals this morning as a means of celebrating the change that Jesus has made and is making in their lives. But before we get to the baptisms, we need to go to God's Word so that we can rightly understand what's about to take place. I don't know if you've seen baptisms before. I don't know if you've experienced a baptism before. But we want to understand it from God's perspective and not just the experience or the perspective of our own experience. We need to know what baptism is and what baptism is not. So that's what we're going to just run through in Romans 6, 1 through 14. It's going to help us understand these things this morning. We're going to look at one thing that baptism is not. We're going to do that first, and then briefly we'll cover five things that baptism is, all right? So first, baptism is not salvation. Christ is salvation. Baptism is not salvation. Christ is salvation. Look with me at verses 4 through 9 of Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. Christ was crucified to free sinners from slavery to sin and to purchase our forgiveness. He rose from the dead, and he will not die again. Did you know that he's alive right now, seated at the right hand of the Father? And because death no longer rules over him, death no longer rules over anyone who trusts in Jesus for salvation. If baptism could save us from our sin, then we would have no need for Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial death, or his victorious resurrection. We would simply wash away our sins in the water. But as the song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only Christ's perfect life can satisfy God's righteous demand for perfection. Only Jesus' sacrificial death can remove God's righteous wrath from rebellious sinners. Only Christ's victorious resurrection can secure eternal life for all of those who put their trust in him. It is only through Jesus that the guilty can be called righteous. It's only through Jesus that the dead are made alive. It's only through Jesus that we are no longer enslaved to sin. It's only through Jesus that death no longer rules over us. It's only through Jesus that we are raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism does none of these things for us. And that's because baptism is not salvation. Christ is salvation. So now that we know what baptism is not, let's look what baptism is. First, baptism is a new covenant sign of identification. Look at verses 10 through 14 with me. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Through his sacrifice on the cross as our substitute, Jesus established a new covenant between God and his people, and he guaranteed it with his blood. In that new covenant, through Christ's finished work, God has forgiven us of all of our sin, past, present, and future. And he's removed our hardened and rebellious hearts, and he's given us hearts that actually desire him and his ways instead of ourselves and our ways. Not only that, he's also given us his Holy Spirit to live in us, the very power of God, the person of God that makes our heart beat for him. And the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus, and he helps us to do what pleases him. Baptism is a visual way of saying, hey, I'm with Jesus now. I no longer live for myself. I live for him because he is my new identity. Verse 5 says that everyone who depends on Christ in faith is united to him in the likeness of his death and resurrection. Verse 13 says that those who are united to Christ are those who are alive from the dead. Verse 14 says that we're no longer under the law, but under grace. Our old self was crucified with Christ, and we've been raised to walk in newness of life. Listen, as weapons for righteousness. That's incredible. We've become one with Christ, and because of that, verse 11 says, we consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In, united, one with. But that's not something that we consider privately. It's also something we declare publicly, and so baptism is also proclamation. Look at verses 1 through 3. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace can multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This morning, you're going to hear some personal testimonies of three of the five people that are being baptized, and the other two have printed theirs out so that you can read those. Those are on the tables back there. And I think you'll be encouraged by all of them. But we need to understand that personal testimonies are supplemental. The act of baptism itself is the biblically prescribed testimony. Baptism is a public declaration that you are no longer continuing in sin, but instead you're offering your whole self to God in joyful obedience to him. Baptism is a visual sign that you are no longer ruled by sin, because you've died to it and you are now alive in Christ and ruled by him. It is not a proclamation that you are now sinless. It's a proclamation that the remaining sin in your life has less and less power over you. Why? Because Jesus paid the penalty for all of your sin already, and you're growing in greater dependence upon him and greater confidence in him. Each person getting baptized today is personally making this proclamation through the act of baptism. But none of them are making this proclamation on their own, and so baptism is also affirmation. Notice how much of these verses that Paul speaks about new life in Christ in the plural sense. Just listen to some of these again. All of us who were baptized into Christ, we who were buried with him, so we too may walk in newness of life. We have been united to him. Our old self was crucified with him. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. As those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God. Even in verse 14, when he says, sin will not rule over you, the you there is plural. This is a corporate thing. Because we share in that grace together, getting ahead of myself. I'm excited. Listen. Your relationship with Jesus must be personal. Nobody can have a relationship with Jesus for you in this room or anywhere else. You have to deal with your sin, and you have to recognize that you can't actually do anything about your sin. And so you throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus, and you find grace and forgiveness in him. Your relationship with Jesus must be personal, but it cannot be private. You don't just come to Christ through salvation. You also become one with his body, and his body is made up of all those who have been saved by grace through faith in him. These baptisms are taking place in the church this morning because as your church family, I'm talking to you that are getting baptized now, but also those of you who have been baptized, as your church family, we are affirming that we see the fruit of salvation in your life. You are personally proclaiming your faith in Christ, and we are corporately agreeing with you that that proclamation is true. And we are doing that as those who share in the same faith, who are participants in the same grace. And because we share in this grace of Christ together, baptism then is also a celebration. This is not a mundane ritual. This is a joyful declaration of life change. Imagine if you thought someone was dead and then you realize they're actually alive. You wouldn't be like, oh, that's nice. Right? It's an outward display of an inward transformation of the heart. How can we read Paul's words here and not celebrate these glorious realities that he's speaking of? How can we not rejoice in the truth that because death no longer rules over Christ, it also no longer rules over us who are united to him? How can we not shout with gladness that Jesus has freed us from slavery to sin and reconciled us to God by his grace? Baptism is a visual display of these incredible gospel realities. These brothers in Christ who are getting baptized today are doing so as a visual representation of these glorious truths that Paul has spoken of here in Romans 6. And so as we raise each one of them up out of the water, this is not a time for head nods and golf claps, okay? It's a time to make worshipful noise. But you need to understand this. This is about Jesus and not about them. So that noise is praise to God for what he's done in their lives and what he's doing in their lives. Similar to how we sing together. We're not singing to each other. We're singing to the Lord in worship. Did you know you can make a joyful noise? This is great for all of those that can't carry a tune, right? So like you can actually just make as much noise as you want and nobody's gonna be like looking at you like, you're way off key, dude, okay? By the way, if you are off key, sing anyway, okay? Because that's still a joyful noise to the Lord. This is a time to make some worshipful noise. So feel free to give thanks to God by clapping, by shouting, by whistling or something similar, because we are celebrating what God has done and what God is doing in their lives. And as those who are united to Christ and united to these brothers as one in Christ, we are remembering also the grace that we have been given as well. So you can thank God for that too. Maybe you have yet to experience the triumphant work of Jesus in for yourself though. Maybe you have yet to trust him with your life. Maybe you had no idea there were baptisms today. Maybe somebody drug you to church today. Whatever reason you're here, guess what? God brought you here because he wants you to see and hear this good news about Jesus. And he wants you to know that Christ is available to you. As you hear, so in that case then, the fifth thing that baptism is, it's contemplation. It's contemplation. As you hear these truths of God's word and as you see the visual testimony of baptism, I want to invite you this morning to consider your own need for the grace that God richly and fully provides in Jesus Christ. Consider the great and merciful love that God would give his one and only son to die in the place of rebellious sinners who wanted nothing to do with him. Consider Christ's great and merciful love, that he would willingly lay down his own life for those who deserve nothing but death. Every one of us has this same great need for grace that God has so richly and freely provided in Jesus Christ. So why not then join us in confessing your need for him, turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus with your life? You have the opportunity to do that at any moment this morning. Okay. That's what God's word says. Now we're going to hear some testimonies from three of those guys that are getting baptized. And again, there's written testimonies on either side of the room for the other two. So I want to invite Caden and Lucas and John, you guys can come up.
first?
Obviously, yeah.
You can do it. You can do it. You can read it. You want me to hold the mic for it? How about this? We'll stand right here.
Okay. Before Christ, I was a sinner, doing stuff only for me. But I had Christ when my family brought me to church. Also, I have accepted Christ into my life and heart. Also, I now know why God had his son die on the cross to take away our sins. There was a woman at my old church. She used to read the kids' Bibles to me, and I'm thankful for that. Also, my life after Christ, I was more funny. I still sin, but I always repent after right away. Also, I came to this super amazing church where I made kind and creative friends, Harvey, Lyle, Hayden, and Dovey, who are now my family in Christ as well, and they helped me grow in my walk with Christ. My life before Christ was a non-finished Lego set, but now it's a work in progress that God has promised to finish. Philippians 1-6 says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus."
Good job.
Don't you love the illustrations that come to people's minds? An unfinished Lego set that God has promised to finish. I love that. I love it. It's relatable, right? You want me to hold it, or are you going to do it? I'll get you. Here. I'm going right here. Okay.
Before I met Christ, I was living for myself, really, and made some bad decisions. And I went to church with my family, but never knew how to live for God and live by his will. These past few years, I've been truly believing in Christ and putting my faith in him and prayed to him for forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." One night, there was a big storm, and I felt really convicted because I realized how powerful God is and that nothing can hide from him. And I had to make sure I was right with God, because sin separates us from God. Now that I'm a child of God, he has changed me and my life for the better. He has given me peace when I'm scared. Psalms 91:5 says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day." He has helped me focus on him so I don't compare myself to others. He has also given me more patience with others and anything. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer." I know life is still hard, but I know that I'm a child of God and I have nothing to worry about because I'm a child of God. And I trust in his plan for me and others. The narrow road with Christ is different because it means we are walking with God and his plan. And if we fall away from it, it pulls us into darkness. So I suggest that if anyone is walking in darkness, trust in Jesus to pull you out into the light and save you from darkness.
Amen. Can you hold it?
Yeah, you can hold it. That'd be great. Morning, everybody. First, I'm here to share my testimony of my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. First, I'd like to thank everyone here for all your love, support, and prayers throughout the couple years I've been here. Looking back at my life before meeting Christ, I was like a lost sheep, wandering further and further down the broad pathways of sin. I sought happiness and comfort through money and sin. I took all the credit for all my wins and blame God for all my losses. Sin will never satisfy, folks. It will never give you peace. After meeting Christ, he did the impossible for me. He freed me from slavery to sin, gave me eternal life and a second chance at this life here. After a lifelong battle of alcohol addiction, I'm proud to say I'm only weeks away from being 2 years alcohol-free. thanks to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. To close, I'd like to share my favorite passage. It's John 4, 13 and 14. This means a lot to me because it helped me kick drinking for good. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I will give him will become a well springing up in him for eternal life." Ooh, sorry, I'm shaking a little bit. That hit me hard. Alcohol always left me thirsty, but now I drink from the satisfying well of the love and grace and glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, folks.
Amen.
I hope you heard the theme in there of before Jesus, I was living for myself. And now in Christ, by grace, I'm living for him and with him. That's Romans 6. You heard that from their testimonies. Harvey and Lyle's testimonies are typed out on pages there. This is an act of courage, as you can see. And listen, courage is not being completely unafraid. Courage is as you're afraid. You trust in Jesus and you give yourself in his hands, right? And so, again, those testimonies are supplemental, but aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? All of these young men have given testimony to God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to read Harvey's and Lyle's testimonies as they, before you leave, you can grab a sheet over there. But guys, can you come and grab the thing? We're going to do some dunking. Good?
Yep.
However you need to go. All right, this water's super cold. I'm just kidding. I just want to make sure you're serious about it, okay? All right, so, Harv, come on up, buddy. All right, so that you know what's going on, as they get into the tub, and I'm going to ask a series of three questions, and they're going to respond to those things. These are just affirmations that each one is making. They've already communicated these through their testimonies. This is just another reminder of what's taking place here. So I'm going to ask you these questions, and then I'm going to dunk you under the water. It's going to be fantastic, okay? Harvey, do you repent of any known sin and renounce any unknown sin in your life? And do you promise that by God's grace, you will continue to live in repentance and faith towards God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all of God's promises to you, including eternal life?
Yes.
And are you resolved to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's word and follow Jesus as your Lord together with his church? Amen. This is one of my sons, but he's also my brother in Christ. Harvey, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. Get it, buddy. Get it. One of my other sons. Can I just say too, we the Lord sent us here to plant this church in 2019, and it's a whole family affair of everyone saying yes to God. But the beautiful thing is that the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of God's word, is not just something that we just serve in, but it's something that actually impacts our hearts and lives and changes us. This is the second baptisms we've ever done at Redeemer. 2.5 years ago, I got to baptize Charlie, my oldest son, And Josie was baptized at Cross Point before we came here. But they're benefiting from this gospel. They are growing in the Lord together. I say all that to say we need God's grace just as much as anybody else in this room. And this is a beautiful display of that. All right. It is cold. Is it cold? It's not that bad. You're all right. Do you repent of any known sin and renounce any unknown sin in your life? And do you promise that by God's grace, you will continue to live in repentance and faith toward God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all of God's promises to you, including eternal life? Are you resolved to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you obey God? Amen. Lyle, based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of Christ's death, and raised to walk in newness of life. I'm proud of you, bud. All right. Caden, come on up. One of the other things that's so beautiful is that the command to make disciples is not just for pastors. Did you know that? It's actually for you if you're a follower of Christ sitting in your seats. And as disciple makers, we are commanded to make disciples by two things. One, by baptizing new believers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to obey God's commands. And the primary disciple makers are the parents in the home. And so I'm going to read you the questions, but you're going to be dunked by your folks. So it's their fault if they hold you under too long, okay? Caden, do you repent of any known sin and renounce any unknown sin in your life?
Yes.
And do you promise that by God's grace, you will continue to live in repentance and faith toward God?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all of God's promises to you, including eternal life? Are you resolved to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's word and follow Jesus as your Lord together with his church?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith, we and your, namely your parents, baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. Lucas, ready? The water's only getting colder.
Got so much colder.
Come on in here. Lucas, do you repent of any known sin and renounce any unknown sin in your life? And do you promise that by God's grace, you will continue to live in repentance and faith toward God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all of God's promises to you, including eternal life?
Yes.
Are you resolved to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's word and follow Jesus as your Lord together with his church?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith, your parents now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. My brother, who drinks from the living water, do you repent of any known sin and renounce any unknown sin in your life? And do you promise that by God's grace, you will continue to live in repentance and faith toward God?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the fulfillment of all of God's promises to you, including eternal life?
Yes.
Are you resolved to depend on the Holy Spirit to help you obey God's word and follow Jesus as your Lord together with his church?
Yes.
Amen and amen. Based on your profession of faith, it is my joy and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Do you want to plug your nose?
No.
Okay. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life.